When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, A Little Wiser listeners, and welcome Erica Gerard, my co-host for today.
Hello.
We are going to talk about last week's episode with Laura Cathcart Robbins on her story of addiction to Ambien. Mm-hmm. And we have lots to discuss about numbing, about how we numb, why we numb. But Erica, what would you say? I think you're really good at distilling like the essence of an episode, the key message and theme. So listening to Laura's story of how she ended up addicted to Ambien and her path out, what would you say the heart of the episode is about?
Well, I think there was a lot of takeaways from this episode, but the one that really stuck with me was the cost of not being who you are at the heart of it. And there's all kinds of ways that we cope, and addiction is one of those ways, just to numb out and not feel, turn off whatever coping mechanism works for you. Some of them are healthier than others. Yeah.
It was this notion that, to some extent, and I think everybody can relate to this on a different level, of double life sounds dramatic. Mm-hmm. But in her case, she moves to LA. She's married to a sort of up-and-coming Hollywood hotshot. Mm-hmm. She's a Black woman in a white world at, you know, a school where her children are some of the only very few Black kids, and this keeping it all up, you know, being involved and, you know, running the PTA and showing up for the field trip. And who she was on the inside was somebody who was craving a different life in a way. So the outside hustle of keeping up the facade and keeping it together was exhausting her.
Well, I think that she did want that life originally. I think she just didn't know what it would truly entail. Like, she thought she wanted that life. And sometimes that happens to us, right? Like, we think we want a certain life for whatever reasons. Maybe as a child, like, that notion was put into our heads of, you know, first you get married and then you have a family and then you move to the suburbs and then you, you know, have grandchildren or whatever it is. At some point, that life starts to really not feel in alignment with who we really are. I'm not saying always, but sometimes that happens.
It felt like all these little micro moments in her inner world were adding up, and she was exhausted by being a mom of two young boys and not sleeping and trying to keep it all together. I think race played into it. I think parenting played into it. I think expectations, or what she assumed the expectations in an outside world were, and it just eventually, you know, compiled and added up. But right. I know you have some strong feelings about Ambien.
Well, I have strong feelings about self-medicating in general, because I did it for so long. And it's so easy to do. I mean, It's so easy to, well, let's talk about self-medicating culprit number one, like just drink, just get loaded and be and numb out. Then there's the Ativan crew who just numbs out to go to sleep. Then there's the, you know, all the barbiturates, all the downers, and Ambien is just one of them. And I had a real moment with this episode. I actually edited this part out. So you're getting some secret non-edited info, intel. But at one point, Laura said that it wasn't Ambien that was the problem, that it was her who was the problem. And that just really stuck with me, and it didn't feel right to me, because these substances, we're not giving them enough credit for the addictive nature that they have, that they are addictive, that they are Schedule II controlled substances, with which means they have a high risk of being abused. So I guess it's just a question of, where are you putting the blame? Are you taking all the blame, or is there some blame for these drugs themselves to bear?
Well, yeah, and it's like, you know, well, it was your problem because you got addicted to the addictive substance.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's like the problem is on the person, like, oh, you really should have been able to not get addicted to the addictive substance. And addiction, as we use it in society, is really, you know, can be a big word, a loaded word, but we're all addicted. We're addicted to technology.
Oh, God, yes.
We're addicted to all sorts of different things that allow us to numb out, to check out, to self-medicate, to handle our anxiety, to distract ourselves from our life. So it's all a scale, and it's important to distinguish, you know, severity and disease. But I think numbing out and addiction is something that is probably universal to most people. I mean, probably not if you're like a Buddhist monk. But in modern society, with anxiety and hustle and technology, I think numbing out is a problem.
Oh, I think it's a huge problem, and it's only getting worse. I think the pressures of our everyday lives, the pressures of keeping up with not just trying to be like make it to the top, not just trying to climb the wealth ladder, but just trying to get on the ladder, just trying to stay afloat, can be exhausting in this capitalist society that we live in. We all feel the pressure of working long hours, you know, having very little time to just be, and the pressures of always having to do and perform and consume, and it can be a lot.
Yeah, I totally agree. What are the ways that you have or have in the past numbed out or checked out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I'm sober now. I used to drink. I never had any type of rock bottom where I just was like, okay, it's very clear I need to stop drinking. But I stopped drinking during COVID because it was not helping my marriage. It was not helping my life. My husband and I were fighting. I felt like it was making me more depressed. It wasn't doing me any solids. So I decided to just stop drinking, and I started educating myself about alcohol, reading really interesting books like This Naked Mind. That was a great book. The Joy of Sobriety, like all of these books about alcohol and just waking up to how I was using it, essentially. And I don't use it anymore, but I still, you know, I take gummies. I like marijuana gummies. They help me relax. So take what you can from that.
Yeah. Is there other ways, like work, busy, technology, food? I'm just giving a list of some of my but is there other ways? Because I think everyone would go to.
No, I think it's relevant. It's true. There are so many ways. Phone addiction, totally. Numbing out, just zoning through Instagram. There are so many ways that we are sleepwalking through our lives. And
that is how I feel on Instagram. I will go and I am there and I am totally tuned out from everything. And then it's like I wake up and feel like zombied out of life. Like, what did I just do? But totally. I think it's like a escape mechanism that leaves you feeling significantly emptier on the other end.
Yeah, but you're pretty good at, I know you're very vigilant about your self-care.
Well, thing you brought up, drinking. I did Dry January last year and have not had a drink since. And looking back, so the reason I did it was, and you know about this, Erica, and I think we may be even talked about this on the podcast, but I went through a depression and anxiety, which I had been through before, but this one was unfamiliar to me. And frankly, it was scary to me. And so, you know, what's super helpful when you're anxious, you know, a few glasses of wine will do the trick until the next morning. And when your anxiety, as my therapist told me, it was like throwing gasoline on my anxiety and depression. And when I did Dry January, I realized that that was very true. I think I slept better. My anxiety was cut in half. And, you know, certainly for me too, already being on medication and then dealing with depression and anxiety, I guess I just had to be honest, especially if I'm openly talking about my mental health and taking care of it, that for me at this time, that's part of it because it leads to, you know, a decline in my mental health.
It's
but,
so true.
But to go back to the numbing, I was for sure numbing, you know, the mental health stuff I was struggling with because it was painful. And living in a, you know, anxious, depressed body is something you legit would like to escape for a few hours.
Totally. But then you do, and it doesn't ever really, it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't help.
No, I would wake up in like a world of pain, you know, worse than the day before. I mean, I think the gasoline analogy was a good one.
Mm-hmm. I do too. You have a good therapist. Can I have her number?
Oh, yes. But I've numbed out on all sorts of things. Like, I don't know, or numbed out. I get confused. Like, avoidance, numbed out. But definitely, which I'm sure is really relatable, like phone and social media. And then I think in the past, work and how much I worked was not healthy. And I'm sure there was some sort of avoidance there of just, you know, oh, if I'm so busy, I don't have to deal with this feeling or sit with, you know, this difficulty. And I worked in a industry that celebrated that and was full of other people who were avoiding with, you know, 20-hour days or whatever it was. No, that's not true. Then you would only sleep 4 hours. I don't know. 16-hour days.
But your industry, being in television, and gosh, you know, I have to say, like, I still reflect and think back on your career as a journalist and everything you've had the opportunity to do, and just it's just seems so cool, like just like, oh my God, what a cool experience to have had in life. And I really minimize the fact that there was an addiction, in a sense, to that life. There's like, it's adrenaline, right? There every day is just you're getting that next adrenaline hit with working the long hours, chasing the story, you know, getting the booking, whatever it is. And that also sounds incredibly exhausting.
It's totally exhausting. And there is definitely a personality type. And, you know, my mom was a social worker in hospitals and she worked in shock trauma. And she said it's almost like people who work in ERs, there's a constant adrenaline and energy, and you have to be able to not only, you know, sustain and survive, but to thrive in that environment. You're right. I mean, there have been points, especially early on, where I was like finding myself and just like, how am I even here? Like, you know, things were happening in the world and, you know, I was hopping on a plane to fly to them, or really like exciting, you know, things we were producing with artists and musicians and athletes. But there was 100% a cost for all of that.
Can you say what that toll was for all of us who didn't get the opportunity to have a what is perceived to be a glamorous career?
I think it was complete exhaustion. That was actually the only time I took Ambien, was during that. I was not sleeping. And it was like, I had these gnarly dreams. I was like getting up in the middle of the night. My job had to be the first priority over anything and everything. So I would be at a 30th birthday of a friend, or, you know, Graham and I had planned a weekend away for our 4th anniversary, and you just literally walk out or say, you know, you've been there 4 hours and you say, I've got to go. I've got to get on the next plane out. So that's not healthy for your relationships. There's certainly a cost there to not be able to.
It sounds so sexy though. Like you're on a date and you're like, sorry, gotta go. Paris is calling. I mean,
there was like people yelling at me once I got something thrown at, back in the beta tape days, I got a beta tape thrown at my head in an editing room because people were stressed. Like there was lots of things that were not sexy, but there was lots of traveling and lots of adrenaline and, you know, enough enticing, interesting opportunities to make you, you know, handcuffed long enough. So that's
do you think that careers like that cause breakdowns? Cause mental health breakdowns?
For sure. Many jobs, not just in television and film, but any industry that I think is known for sort of that manic pace and exhaustive hours and just complete pressure, there's like lots of isms, right? There's like all, there's workaholism, and then there's, you know, you see alcoholism, and, you know, mm-hmm. I think the human body is not wired for that. That's not how we evolved or were made to function or live. And so once it becomes no longer sustainable, you're either, you know, out. And that's obviously not everybody. There are certain people who maintain a healthy lifestyle and a healthy relationship. But yeah, and to go back to Laura, it doesn't have to be a job that is exhausting. I mean, she had her life was exhausting. And so, and how busy we have come, and the expectations that we have put on ourselves and the pace at which we live.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are freaking exhausted.
Agreed. Yes. We are doing too much with too much pressure, and we're driving ourselves crazy. Literally.
And I think a lot of people, yes. And I think anxiety is through the freaking roof.
Through the roof. Through the freaking roof.
Yeah. We don't really have the answers because we're not paid professionals. But what is one or two things? You know what? I'm going to say, because I think all of the answers, frankly, are true and annoying at the same time, because everyone's like, meditate, journal, and all of these things help. But I'm going to say one is just being aware.
Like, absolutely.
the self-awareness of I'm moving too fast or I'm feeling anxious in my body, I'm numbing out with social media or Chardonnay or whatever your thing is, and thinking about like what you can do to, you know, make a different choice that has a payoff that in the end is filling you up and allowing you to feel more well and fulfilled versus the negative on the other end.
Yes. And like you said, and that's a perfect segue into our challenge for this week. This week's challenge.
What is it? I didn't know.
Well, you know, we've started having challenges on A Little Wiser. And so I would like to challenge our listeners to start to notice the ways that you numb out to your own life. Is there a particular time of day? Is there a particular errand or routine or relationship that has you turning?
Yes. May not be raising my hand. Yeah.
So, you know, start to notice the times when you're going to your vice and start asking why.
Yes, I love that. And I think just being aware is like a wonderful, wonderful first step and starting place for anybody. So I love that challenge. Does this mean I can't online shop for the next 2 weeks until we do another A Little Wiser?
You can. You just have to notice why you're doing it.
Okay. Okay.
Are you doing it because you really need a dress to wear to that occasion? Or are you doing it because you're bored and you're upset because your husband is late from work for the umpteenth time? I don't know that that's true. I just made it up. I don't even think
it's
works.
So 1950s. I'm buying a dress.
Yes.
He's late for work. I have dinner on the table and his chilled martini and I'm furious.
And so you're furious. So you go online shopping.
Oh, it's probably just like a pretty cookbook or a tea towel or just random things like that.
But you're looking for dopamine. You're wanting a dopamine hit.
Yes, I am. Click, click.
Yeah.
All right. I love the challenge. I love our listeners. I love that we are launching this membership community to be wiser together.
Yes.
And we will be back with you soon.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
You too. Take care of yourselves.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.